chapter 5, and we are going to look this afternoon at verse 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we examine this verse. Lord, help us to see what it means to be a peacemaker. And Lord, that we should all desire to be your children. Speak to us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is a peacemaker? And what is Jesus talking about a peacemaker? What is the point of contention that is causing a disruption that would where there need to be peace brought? Well, in the scriptures, it talks about the fact that there's enmity between God and man, and that enmity is caused by sin and rebellion. If you just turn with me to James chapter 4, verse 4. And in James chapter 4, verse 4, James is writing the following. He says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Well, James makes it pretty clear where the problem is, where the battle is, where the war is, and that is between the world and God. And it's between people who would listen to the world and do the things that the world would seek them and tempt them to do. And we know that the prince of the power of the air is Satan. He has great influence over this world, in that he has established his kingdom within this world. And he seeks to lead all men in rebellion against him. The word enmity means to stand against, to be against, or to be really at war with. And that is where the unbeliever is prior to his coming to know the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Savior and receiving him. Jesus came into the world that this enmity or this battle could be won, and that men could be forgiven of their sins and come to know Christ. So who are the peacemakers, and why is Jesus challenging us to be blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God? Are you a peacemaker? Well, Paul talks about this same topic. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh." I'm sorry. I'm in 2:11. That is the right verse. Okay. Circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. This gives the condition of men that are at enmity with God. In verse 12, he talks about the fact that in the past, we didn't know, as he says here, we were aliens, that is, we were separated from, we didn't know, we weren't part of. And also that we were strangers from the covenants of promise. If you look at the world, we talked a little bit this morning about the fact that in the U.S. today there are very, very many, there are a lot of people that do not know anything about Christ. Or the things that they've heard about Jesus, it's a different Jesus, a different gospel. And so consequently, there is no peace with God. There is no coming to the Lord and having restoration occurred and a relationship established. They are really in the position that Paul is speaking of here, where he says they are strangers from the covenants of promise. What are the covenants of promise? Well, go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and we find out the first promise given, that there would come one, the seed of woman, who would crush the head of the serpent. And this seed of the woman was the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the promised Messiah, the anointed one, whose whole purpose was to come and destroy the impact that Satan had on people's lives. And what impact did Satan have? He tempted men to rebel against God. He presented them a means by which they could rebel, and they willfully chose to rebel. And consequently, the world has experienced a spirit of rebellion against God and all that He stands for and His truth ever since that time. And we see here that the promises that are given that the Lord spoke of was this coming Messiah. And that the world doesn't know, and we're strangers from the covenant promises. We're not part of them if we haven't accepted Christ. Now, we know that Jesus came into the world to pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world, that all men might be saved. But all men must come to know Christ, and all men must give their hearts to the Lord. They need to know who Jesus is. They need to know what their condition is. And they need to know how Christ came to relieve them of the consequences of their rebellion and their sin so that they could once again be the children of the living God. And Paul addresses the fact that people who don't know Christ, they're standing apart from God and don't know anything about Him. Well, what did Jesus say that we're to do? Going back, if you come to the end of Luke's Gospel, the end of Matthew's Gospel. The Lord gives us a command where you and I are called to be the ambassadors that would share the truth that could set men free. We are to be the peacemakers. The peacemakers. One of the things that's happening in our country right now is Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, has been going to various countries. He's been talking to them about issues trying to establish peace and conditions where there won't be war going on. He is acting as an emissary or a peacemaker between the United States and various governments around the world. And his goal is that we could establish a relationship where peace could be established. That is what an emissary's responsibility is. They're to be sent out doing the bidding of the government that has sent them. Well, we are the emissaries of Christ. We're the ambassadors of Christ. We are the ones that are being sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ to share the message of peace with a world that's at war with God, that peace can be established through Jesus Christ our Lord. The verse I was looking for, and I'm sorry I gave you the wrong text, but turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In beginning at verse 18, Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven, and He's going to be leaving His disciples. And this is the last words that Matthew records that Jesus told His disciples, that Matthew has recorded. And in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus has all the power and the authority, both in heaven and in earth. And He's using that power for a purpose. And He's not only taking that power, He's giving it to us. What the President of the United States represents our nation as its leader. He has tremendous power and authority of that position. When He sends someone like Mike Pompeo to a separate country, He's saying, I'm sending you and I'm giving you the power and authority that I possess to act on my behalf, and my power and authority is behind you. Well, when Jesus is sending the disciples out, and when, by extension, us, as we are now His disciples, as we come to Him through Christ, He's saying, I possess all power in heaven and earth, and I'm, that power is what I am, is going with you. He says here in verse 19, go ye therefore. What is the therefore? Therefore, because He has all power in heaven and earth. Because Christ has established His power and His authority, He's saying, go ye therefore, because I have this power, I'm sending you out as my ambassadors. And what are you supposed to do? What are specific things we're to do? And to teach all nations. The first thing we're to do is to teach all nations. Is there any group in the world that we're not supposed to present the gospel to? No, He's saying all nations. And what are you supposed to do? Teach them. What are we to teach them? We're to teach them about, number one, man's condition. The man's a sinner. The man's in rebellion against God. We're to teach them that God is creator, and as their creator, has authority over them, and it's according to His word that we are to live, and according to His authority that we are to respond and act, and He's the one that's established the laws and the rules by which we live. So God is creator, God's the authority, God's established the laws. We have willfully chosen to rebel against that truth, against the fact that God is our creator and the authority over us. And then we're also to teach them about the fact that there is no hope for us to pay the penalty for our rebellion apart from Him showing His mercy and His grace and forgiving us for our sins. And if He's just and holy, it still has to be paid for, and then teaching them about Christ. So this is the good news, if you would, that we are to take to all nations. And today in America, one of the things that we have the opportunity to do is literally take it to many nations of the world because they're coming to us. We've got people from all over the world that are coming to America as refugees, and many of these countries you would not be able to get into with the gospel. Because the governments there do not want anything to do with the God of the Bible. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. And there's severe persecution for Christians or anyone who profess Christ. And yet you've got people from some of those countries coming here and living. We're to ask God, give me the opportunity to teach them the truth, to explain to them the gospel message. So teaching all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And so consequently, we're to not only teach them, but as they respond to the power of God's Spirit, convicting them and opening their eyes to the truth that they receive Christ, they are to become part of the church body, and they're to be baptized into Christ. And they're to be baptized as a means and mark of their commitment to the Lord and receiving Christ as their Savior. And we're to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then it says not only the teaching doesn't stop, but then after we've brought them to an understanding of the knowledge of Christ, after they've converted to Jesus, then we're to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so there becomes the discipleship process so they can learn more about this God that has redeemed them. And so there's the message, the bringing of good news. There's the message of salvation that is brought to the people. And then there's the discipleship of the people. And then the Lord tells them, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And so we are not to fear, but rather to realize that the one who has all power in heaven and earth goes before us. Now, what does that have to do with what Jesus said in chapter 5 of Matthew? Well, in chapter 5 of Matthew, He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom, for they shall be called the children of God, rather. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You are a child of the Lord, and you're to take what God has done in your life to share with others And as you do that, the only ones who really can share the gospel are those who are experienced the gospel in their own hearts. And so we're called to be peacemakers. We're called to lead people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're called to teach them and see them saved. We're called to disciple them. And then we will be called, because we do these things, it's really fruit that we're bearing for the kingdom of God, and we shall be called the children of God, because we are His children, and His children are the ones who do that. In closing, just a little summary on that statement that Jesus made. One of the things that you're seeing that a lot of Christians do today is they don't want to be a peacemaker. They don't want to be an ambassador. They say, well, that's the pastor's responsibility. That's the missionary's responsibility. That's the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. But, you know, I accepted Jesus, yes, but that's all I want to do is just have a relationship with God, but I don't need to talk to anybody. Our neighbor passed away, as one of the prayer requests is for his wife and family, a week ago today. I really hadn't gotten a chance to really sit down and talk a lot to our neighbor, but we went to his funeral yesterday, and God had done a tremendous thing in our neighbor's life. He'd been an alcoholic, and God had redeemed him and saved him out of alcoholism, and he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And not only that, he healed the family and restored family relationships, and all three of his children are Christians. His wife is a Christian. The pastor said that our neighbor had become a believer because of the witness of his wife after she came to know Jesus. But the thing that was really amazing, because that was amazing enough, just to see that this family who had once been torn apart by alcoholism and the sin that is involved with the whole committing your life to alcohol instead of God, and how it had been just so destructive to so many families, how that God had, through His mercy and grace, put this family back together and brought them into a relationship with You. And the one daughter read just a really, really wonderful, it was just like a message, a sermon, about her dad and how that God had changed and Jesus had changed so much. What if no one had ever told him about Jesus? He'd still be warring against God, but he wasn't. He was transformed by the power of Christ because someone took the time to share the gospel with him. And I just was thinking about that, and the pastor at that time said, I know you don't do this, but I want to do this at this sermon, at this memorial service. I would like to have all the people that whose lives have been changed because of the things that Ralph has shared with you to stand. And there were people all over the auditorium that stood, that Ralph had shared the gospel with, talked to, and their lives had been transformed. And when you stop and think about that, when I get to heaven, or when Jesus comes there and He says, how many people here have been influenced by Glenn and his life, and that's why you're here today? How many people will stand? Or if they do that at my funeral, how many people would stand? That's being a peacemaker. And it's also being called a child of God. Because it's what God desires for us to do. He commissioned the disciples to go and to take this message into the whole world. Another portion of Scripture, He says, and take it into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost Jerusalem, and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost portions of the earth. We're to take it where we live. We're to take it to those that are closest, our circle around us. We're to take it to those that we may be at odds with, but are still within our reach, and then we're to take it wherever God would take us, throughout the whole earth. We're to take the gospel message, the message of peace, so that this enmity between God and man can be restored by the blood of Jesus and the gospel message. May we be a people who truly are blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let's just close in prayer. Father, I pray that you would help us to realize the calling that's been placed on each of our hearts and lives. Help us to take advantage of the opportunities that you give us, some of which we've even prayed for today, a clerk at the grocery store, a young man or woman who's helping us at the gas station. Lord, give us opportunities and give us boldness, and may your power manifest itself in our lives as we share that which is the greatest example of your power, that the gospel may transform lives. Help us to be your ambassadors and emissaries, proclaiming your truth. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.